So I'm currently working as an organizer in the AEU, Australian Education Union, Victorian branch. Prior to joining any AEU team, I have served as a sub-branch representative at my own school, what I have taught for the last 12 years, which is a special school setting. I also originally come from Japan, in case you couldn't guess from my surname, and arrived here about, I think, back in 98, not knowing much English. When I arrived here, honestly, I didn't know how to order a sandwich or coffee from a cafe. And that system in the cafe was a mystery to me. I said, why do Australian people know how to order a sandwich? They seem to know always what they want without a menu or price in front of them, which is not the case in Japan, because you have always a visual representation exactly how much it is. I come from a very orderly background. Anyone who's been to Japan would know this. Yep. So, yep, that's me, and I came here as an international student. What I'd like to share with you today is just one of the stories from the time that I was the rep at my own school, working with many of the women of colour members at the special school. And because of the location of where my school is, which is in Glen Waverley, and the fact that my school has got a physical disability label attached, the school basically attracted a lot of the diverse education support staff in recent years. And I'm really noticing that from especially last 5 years or so, we've just started to have a lot of diverse women of colour staff coming to work as not necessarily as a teacher, but more as an education support staff. So their roles are quite diverse. There could be allied health staff, there could be in the office. But majority of them, 80% of them, are working in the classroom with a lot of teaching staff and assisting the needs of and the learning of the students. I've been very fortunate and privileged to be able to represent those women. The last time I left the school, we had about 65 education support staff members, a lot bigger than a teacher member, to be honest. And there were about 100 ES staff at my own school. And typically, the school was led by a white male person. So these are the lowest paid educators in public school education. Before the new government schools agreement, the Victorian government schools agreement, which came in 25th of July, these people are getting paid between $23 to $27 an hour before tax. Not much at all. These are the people that really are vital and essential part of the operation of the schools. And they do really bend backwards and forwards to do anything, everything for the school. And I constantly always taught my classroom with those amazing women in the classroom. Without them, I wouldn't have been able to really deliver the curriculum. Coming from the Asian background, of course, I had many points of connection with these women staff who also grew up in a very similar environment or background, I guess, and I was really able to relate myself to these people, and they started to feel more comfortable with me, just coming to me and seeing me and getting to know more about joining the union, etc. And being a non-white staff member, and especially when you are not born in Australia, and I never went to Australian schools, is often more of a challenge than advantage, as you can just imagine. I can honestly say this because this throughout my teaching career since 2004, I have encountered a lot of challenges and struggles. And I thought everybody was like this, like, you know, this is just a normal, until I sort of started to be active within AU and start interacting with other members who come from completely different background. Then I realised that, no, this wasn't normal. Not everybody goes through these struggles and challenges. So it has been a sort of long time learning for myself, and especially standing up for a group of members, a lot of them are women and come from disadvantaged background. And me representing a large sub-branch was actually a little bit of a challenge at the start. But of course, you don't give up, you just keep going. The issue that was brought to my attention was that the many of the classroom support, educational support staff were not provided with lockers at my school, and therefore they had to really carry their backpacks or, you know, lunchbox and their handbags to wherever they went. And because of the nature of their role, which was to really more like a rotating within the school, because first session you might be doing physio with the students, then next session might be swimming in a hydrotherapy pool, then to finish off with the speech therapy session in the classroom. So you just have to carry bags all day, every day, which is quite inconvenient. And of course, you are carrying your valuables in your bag. And it, the life it, at school is just incredibly busy. So sometimes you just can't remember where you left your bag is. And by the time you came back to your bag, the bag was gone, missing. And some of them were newly arrived migrants in the country. So therefore, they actually had a passport in their bags. And because they didn't have a driver's license. So then, well, they'd never driven in their own country. They came here and, yeah, they don't have any ID card. So then they were carrying a passport, which wasn't, of course, a smart choice. However, people sometimes just don't know that. That's the right thing to do, they believe. So they were doing it. So anyway, yeah, this concern was brought to my attention from a number of those women of colour members to me. And I was representing those people's voice at a school-based consultation committee. Basically, I took that matter to the principal's attention. And initially, he looked at me and didn't really take the matter seriously. He's like, oh, what's the issue? Why can't you just carry your bag all day, every day? That's not that hard. It's not like you're carrying 10 kilograms, you know, weight in your bag. That's not a big issue. Then, so I called a series of, sorry, when I say ES, that's Education Support Staff, ES meetings, was called to talk to those members, and I made sure that we provided a safe space for those staff who could then freely talk about their issues and concerns, and ensure that nobody will be identified or targeted, because that's one thing they were very, very concerned about. Spend a lot of time educating them about working together collectively to address this issue. And if we can't have a win in one meeting, then we always came back together, had another meeting, had a plan B, and we just kept trying. And a lot of all these women are also not aware of the Australian Union movement. And myself, as I got more involved with the AU, I had to learn as well. And I'm still learning every day. But they were totally not aware of this Australian movement has achieved historically, let alone the wins for this ES staff in the schools agreement in the past. So there was a lot of educating to be done, even before I got them together and, you know, think about strategies and plans moving forward to address these issues and concerns. And one of the strategies we discussed was to collect data and evidence, such as like taking photos. And we also ran a quick survey around those staff so that I have not missed any bits of information. I then took this, once again, this matter to the fortnight school-based consultation meeting, spoke on behalf of members. And of course, my own challenge representing the voice of these women was, as I stated earlier, my principal is a 53-year-old white male person who never worked as an education support staff in the education industry. So he's always been a teacher and now obviously earns a very comfortable six-digit wage. Basically, it was just comes down to the cost. As you all know, Victorian government schools are not well funded. 99% of the government schools are not reached the 100% of the funding that we all deserve. So it did come down to funding, and we do have a lot of educational support staff. So it wasn't just the one or two lockers you're talking about. You were talking about the 100-plus lockers. So he was quite hesitant, however, took all the evidence and photos and continued to raise this matter. And obviously, as a committee, we got together and spoke about. Yes, eventually we did have a wing, and he has agreed to purchase all the brand new lockers, not just lockers, plus the padlock. So that was important. So this also had a very positive impact on the school's consultation process as a whole. Previously, we only just had one education support staff representing the voice of ES staff at the consulting committee. But as a result of this wing, not only we had more women of colour members joining the AEU, and eventually grew to about 65 out of 100, we also had three education support staff reps at our school consultation committee, which is, I also managed to negotiate was to get those women to get paid to be on a consulting committee. So basically through this experience, reflecting on what solidarity means for these women of colour members, do you see the importance of providing them the safe, confident, comfortable space, regardless of the role in their school? And it's also important that they have an equal representation in school-based consultation process. They do honestly feel that they are the lowest on the bottom of the hierarchy. They do feel quite vulnerable. And when you are women and you are women of color, it's even worse. So it was really important that we continue to work together, stick together. And they really needed a lot of encouragement. This might sound a very simple process to just win this, but it really wasn't. It was really a lot of time was spent. I gave up my preparation time to meet some of the members because they were going on the early breaks and things like that. So to give up that time to meet with all these people was quite obviously it worked really well. And small groups meeting was really, really powerful, but also very effective. Just lastly, now that I'm working as an organizer in the AEU, I really love to see our women of color members getting more involved and enhancing their participation level across the sector within the AEU, whether you come from schools, early childhood, or TAFE or disability. And really, I don't know how much I can contribute within AEU, but I believe, Kerry, I'm the first women of color organizer in the AEU. I really love to be able to contribute by helping these women of colour members get activated, get them to see the values and connections. When you don't feel that the sense of belongings or achievement, it is really hard for them to come to any of the events or even a small regional meetings. For example, I look after Frankston Peninsula Mornington region, and most of you would know how diverse that part of Melbourne is. I'd often sit in the entire room looking visibly different from anyone. And I have yet to come across a single women of colour member attending this event. So, I just have to keep going and try getting these women of colour members activated and get them to join us.